Has anybody over there had a problem trying to be able to get the chat room? This is Bill from Bill Flanagan from MIT over in Wetware.
Yeah, I can't get on my chat.
I can't get on chat.
You can't talk to him?
Nope.
Kind of interesting. So I've got it up on my screen.
Yeah, I rest on the screen. I don't understand.
No, I'm not getting you, Barry. No. Can you hear us?
Oh. I tried it on the Windows PC here. I'm on a Mac and it doesn't work, but...
Hello, is this working?
Rishma, are you running Firefox or are you running Internet Explorer?
I tried those on.
I tried Firefox and Opera.
Hello?
On both Windows and Linux.
Yeah, I got you now, Barry.
Yay, for me.
Nice. Just wait a minute.
By the way, it didn't work for me. I had to use Skype again.
Awesome.
So I had disconnected for a second. I reconnected, so I'm on SIP right now. So
yeah,
if you want to doubt...
I was on a chat yesterday. Awesome. It was kind of like this. Yeah, I did too.
Oh. This is what I always see on the chat.
Yeah, Barry's had this problem for a long time.
Nobody believed me.
Before you thought it was a little more odd when it was just you, Barry. But then... Special. What's that? Yeah, it seems to be working now, so that's good. Some voice said something about the teleconference and then it got fixed. I don't know. It's weird. No, Matthias can't call in and neither can Cumbers. Julius can't either? Okay. So, I don't know if Jim's calling in, but...
Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
I, you know, one thing that might be different between my computer and yours is that I just noticed my wireless is turned on so that I'm on the BioNet right now instead of on the MIT network. So I'm going to switch over to the MIT network and see if it stays up.
That would be a pretty bizarre thing. Although, Rachel's on, she's not on BioNet, so.
I'm on the same network as Rachel.
Okay, well, let's get started and if people join in, then we'll just say hi. So I don't actually have a good way of going through who's here right now because we don't have the chat list. Who's here? Jason's here. Barry's here, I know that.
Austin's
here.
Corey Holtman's here.
Sharifa Curry.
Rachel Shetty. Austin, I know you're there.
Hi, so hi. I'm here.
Rachel.
Can you not hear me? I can hear you. Hello? Hello?
Okay, well, he's here, but he's not here.
Okay. Is that everybody? Okay. Alright, cool. So, we'll go through the... Oh, what about Mac? Is Mac here? He put a whole bunch of stuff up.
Mac is traveling. I'm not sure if he can call in.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, who's that?
Austin?
Oh, Austin, good, we made it. Alright, nice. Alright, cool. So, we'll just go through the reports quickly and then get on to the other stuff. So, from coordinator stuff, I spoke with Nature, following up on the stuff I mentioned last week. So they are going to do like a weekly review project, or they're thinking of doing a weekly review project. So this is similar to what we've got, which is basically put a review up, put it in wiki form, publish it at the same time, and then let people edit it on nature.com, and somehow it'll improve, or so that's the idea. So I spoke to them, and basically their plan right now is just to try out like one review. I kind of told them I think that that's not going to work at all. Because I don't really know why a bunch of people would go with so I don't know if they're at the moment they don't seem planning to do anything bigger than that. My main concern is that I see reviews kind of being edited on like a longer time scale, you know, like someone will just come in and add a note about a new thing or whatever. It's not like a million people are going to descend on it in a day and clean it all up or something. So anyways, I mentioned that if they wanted to do a more serious thing with, like, a lot of reviews, we'd be willing to, like, you know, partner on that or do something where stuff lives on open wetware and got published periodically through a publisher like them or somebody else. So they didn't think that, you know, I think it gets interesting, but they didn't say anything else with that. So if I do think that, I don't know, Shree, I guess you spoke with a guy at Cold Spring Harbor, and he might have been amenable to this sort of thing. Is that right?
So I spoke with John Inglis, who's the head of Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory Prep. And one, they're thinking about doing something similar to, I guess, what Baker was thinking about. They were hoping for the same thing, that, like, one group of excited scientists that wanted to write a review, and it would have to go into one of the Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory journals. So I don't even know which ones those are. I know researchers in one and a couple others. But they'd be willing to think about a review written for the wiki that, you know, gets published once every 2 years or so, with if there's enough community members around it already on a particular site. I think right now they might be testing it out on their own live wiki, which I think would be terrible.
Right.
Hard to maintain their own thing.
Yeah, I mean, one of Major's big concerns was, like, just the work of supporting a community, like, supporting scientists using the wiki and getting them up to speed on it and stuff. So I think that's one of the places where I think we could help publishers, since we sort of have a community that's already wiki-friendly. So anyway, if anyone's interested in following up with any publishers, I'm pretty sure that there'd be interest, at least from a few of them, if we wanted to do this more seriously. So if you are, let me know. And that is it for me. So Jen is not here, sorry. So she posted up, the highlights have been updated, the blog is now listed there. Actually, Rachel, she had posted something about the blog on the main page or whatever.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it was in the, or maybe it wasn't here. Well, someone had said that maybe we should put a link to the blog instead of the community button on the main page.
Oh, yeah, sorry, that was me.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the community portal isn't that heavily used. I mean, we can block that button out on the main page or blog, so that blog's long-term on the main page.
I mean, with the new RSS feed, I mean, can we do something like having an RSS feed of all the Open Wetware wikis, kind of just a couple posts or something like that?
On the Open Wetware wikis or
on the wiki from page. I mean, that would be kind of interesting, right? So, like, things coming from the steering committee and the other blogs on Open Wetware would just be kind of RSS feed and fed into the home page. I don't know. I don't know if it's or not.
Well, I think you have a good point. One thing that Jason and I talked about is using FeedBurner to do the aggregation so that we would publish feed through FeedBurner, and there's nothing except you have to publish through there. But then from their side, you can actually sort of aggregate into a single wiki, into a single RSS feed that we can put anywhere we want, or we can do the same thing ourselves and basically sort of do it. But at least if we want to do that and have, let's say, the most recent post from 5 or 10 different wikis, I mean, blogs, I think that's something that we could do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we probably don't have the traffic just yet. We don't have enough bloggers that are doing stuff, but in the future, I mean, I know Science Blogs does this, and it's a pretty cool feature, like, where you see, like,
the latest posts or whatever.
The posts from all their blogs.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's up there. I mean, I definitely think we should have that on the front page of the blog, and it might be something we want to have on the front page of the main page for a little while, at least. Or if we get as traffic speeds up. But we don't know, but we do think technically that that's pretty possible.
Well, yes, I mean, I could do it myself, but we mentioned that we might want to use FeedBurner to do it, so,
yeah.
You know, we could go either way. Aggregating the list into the most recent ones is not something that's too hard to do, and then putting it into the front page is something you can do now.
Okay. Well, so are people okay with swapping out the community link at least for blogs permanently, and then we'll look into the RSS links? Does that sound right? I'll take it.
Hey, Jason, this is Mac. I just called in.
Oh, hey, great, Mac. How's it going?
I'm in the airport.
No. Good. Okay, excellent. Okay, good. So while you're here, why don't we jump to your section, because I think that's it for Jim. So do you want to give an update with Bill on the software stuff?
Sure. Just from memory, I can't remember exactly everything, but I summarized a little bit on the Steam page.
Don't go through it if you want. I mean.
Yeah. It was basically the blog stuff. I think the one point I wanted to highlight, which might not get highlighted, is Austin installed the Whippet extension, which is an extension that sets up Exhibit, and it's got a really cool cable editor. And I think that it's great, everyone likes it, but I'm concerned that users aren't really going to know that it works, how to use it. So maybe we should do some of the outreach to educate people.
For the table editor?
Yeah. And the other powers of Whippet, I don't even know what else it does. But I sense that it's very powerful and that we might want to do something, like write some tutorials or something like that.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay, so anyway, Bill, do you have that list? Do you want to go through it?
Yeah. Just to sort of at least sort of carry on with what Mark was just talking about, I think that having a simple, literally a listing of the extensions that we have, even if it's just pointed to the documentation that was originally created for it from within the wiki instead of going through the special version page, and then having at least one example that shows how it could be used within Open Wetware, I think would be a really big thing. That's what I did with the RSS feed, was just to put examples in of how they could be used, and I think that just coming up with some sort of a standard way of being able to say, here's the extension, here's literally, you know, a paragraph to show how it works, here's the detail with the link back to where it was, and then an example. I think that if we were able to do that, people would get a good deal out of it. I've not had a chance to look at Whippet at all at this point, except for the original pointer that Austin sent to me. So I think it would be a good idea, and I'd be glad to coordinate that. You know, I can put the format up and and let people know about it, but I don't
think. Well, so really students would be, what would be the right way to educate the rest of the community? Is there saying, hey, Juan, you installed this really cool new extension. We think you'd like it. Here's how it works. Like, what do? Send an email to everyone? Or, like, maybe put it in a blog post or put it on the front page?
I think a blog post is really the best way to do it. I think an email post to the steering committee is really appropriate. But in general, maybe we even have an RSS feed in the front that has new features, I don't know, or someplace. Just something that we're able to update on a very regular basis when new things are able to be. Of course, that means that things have to regularly be being created and put on there, but even if it means enhancing documentation around ones that are already there, I think that it would be good to keep people in the know about tools that are available to work with, you know.
I think that's a great idea for me, because I don't know what Whippet is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to say.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know what it is either, actually.
It's really Whippet. Blogs are for kids, right? I think that everybody's heard the same thing about Whippet. It really does have a great table editor, and it's something that really does seem to be well implemented and well supported.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that's a kind of a pain is there's like a little chicken and egg problem where it's like, well, no one's reading the blog right now, or no one's looking at the front page regularly right now. And I think part of the reason is just, well, because they're not being updated regularly. You know?
Right.
So I think if we start just using the blog and priming it by, you know, putting every new feature up there with a little description and then also linking to a wiki page that has the description too, and then you'll hopefully eventually people will subscribe and say, okay, this is the way we find out what's going on in a manner that doesn't, you know, get overwhelmed. Okay, so why don't we make a concerted effort then? So, I mean, I know, Mac, you said you were going to make a post about the latest features.
Yeah, that's right. So based on what I wrote on the SD report page, I was going to make a more, like, narrative-style post to, like, hey, welcome to the blog, blah, 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 blah. And maybe eventually I can get Austin to show me how to use Whippet, and we can make, like, a little screencast out of it.
Yeah, that would be great.
Just make clicking this way, and look, here's a cool table. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you could put a video doing it, you know?
Yeah, that's a screencast, right, Mac?
I've done some others with Rush, but I know how to do it now. It would just be a matter of sitting down and doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I think that would be a good way to sort of say sensationalize a features blog as well. You could say, look, we've got three posts, and now there's a video. Check out the video. Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. All right, cool. Yeah, Max, let us know how we can help out with that.
All right. Besides that, Austin uninstalled some extensions. Google Maps got deprecated, or uninstalled because the film is being made.
Phil, if you want to just briefly address. Has been the case before is that when new users signed up, they were left to their own devices with the user page, but there was really nothing there except an invitation to type. Without any knowledge of how Wikitext is done or anything else, it would probably result in most people without any experience using wikis before to maybe type some stuff in and accidentally save it and then use it like that. So now there's a template, and it's not a formal template as in the way that the rest of the wiki works, but there's a file that actually contains a template for how that user page is created. It uses the information that comes in from the registration. So it's a small set of information, including their name, email address, if you want to put it in there, also the reason they came, and who sponsored them or what the referral was. So that information you put in, and then obviously any other MediaWiki syntax or other templates can be used to generate that page. But what's important about it is that it'll be there for them right after they register. So by the time they get to, it's created as soon as they register, and so it's just there. The other thing,
so when they get the email, they'll already have a user page set up that
right.
contains that information.
Exactly.
And it's not a template, is that right?
It's not a template, and the reason it's not is that if the template changes, everybody's page would change, and we're trying to make it so that that won't be the case, so that if the page change occurs, then the new sort of, you might say, the user page template, it'll only affect new people logging in or sort of connecting for the first time. There was one other problem that I kind of just saw and changed the other night, which is when the email went out, there was a problem that many people, if they had a name that had a space in the middle of the name,
yeah.
would never get an accurate URL. Now they will, so that when you click on that link, it will go to your user page. And if you take a look,
Mary just had the link out, the user page default contact link.
Yeah,
so if you go there, that's the current version of what people will see when they get their new user page.
Right.
And it'll just, those fields will be filled in with whatever they put into the blank. So the question, I think, for the steering committee then is, what should that page look like? So Julia sent out an email before the meeting about how they previously looked into using it as a tutorial for new users or things like that. People have that link. Put that in the chat. And with the idea being that they would actually do the, getting started tutorial within their own user page. So do people have thoughts on that or what we should do, or since the current version is pretty sparse. So.
The other thing that we really don't do right now that at some point in the future might be possible is to think about whether or not, if this works out, there are other things people might want to add to it in terms of making it more specific to a community. But right now, there's one size fits all. In other words, this is the page that everybody will get. So there's no way to select which particular one through any criteria they're entering is going to be generated. So it has to be sufficiently general that any person signing up for Open Wetware would get the same link right now.
Right. So, I know this race friend, Steve Koch, are both commenting in the chat. Do you guys have anything you want to describe? Barry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that the point that Steve makes is right. It's that on that page, it would be nice if it was an example of how to use some of the most useful features, like uploading images and also pulling it in. Look, you also don't want a page to look intimidating to the new user, which is Rachel's point, which is well made.
So, Julius had originally, when they put their idea up, it was also to include sort of like sub-pages that everybody would have. Like, you'd have a project page by default, so it would link to name/lab notebook or name/whatever. So, are there things like that you can imagine preceding the page with, or just, I don't know, what do you think on that?
Well, there's
another feature that we'll talk about in a bit, which is RSS, and the other thing that could be done is to literally set up a link that way so that this is a dynamic list put into it that actually can change as people sort of go on. I don't know whether or not that's too complicated for people to think about, but it's just that we don't know what people are going to do with the page after it's created. They're supposed to create edited. So I don't know how to put any kind of guardrails about it going forward.
Yeah, I don't think that's guardrails. Maureen, what did you mean by your comment here?
Yeah, I'm trying to type and hold the phone. It doesn't work. So there's one feature I really liked, and I had a hard time using when I first started, which was when Jason or Austin or Sue would email me within the wiki and tell me, oh, you have to use a colon or something like that, because they've been watching me struggle with formatting. And then suddenly this message would pop up, and I wouldn't know what to do with it. And I'd see that someone was watching and helping, but I didn't know how to respond. And so, you know, for a naive user, this is thrilling, but also puzzling. the whole idea of being able to send or posting on user pages and having this internal communication. And as far as I can tell, there's no real, there's no description of that in the documentation anywhere. But it's really handy.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. Yeah, that's a bad idea. I wonder if there's a way to... I guess you could imagine also feeding a little welcome note or something into their actual talk page so that they got that little message as well right when they got in there. So they would, like, notice. Like, that would be a way for them to discover, like,
yeah,
talk page. So then they would see the little yellow box. Okay. All right, so that's not bad. So it sounds like what we want to do then, I mean, we could try and basically move a lot of the content that's currently in the getting started page and move it in a way that's not overwhelming into the user page. And then as well as...
You know, one thing is that you probably don't want to make it pretty. So, like, the getting started page is really pretty because there's, like, templates and stuff like that. But I think you actually want to make the user page stuff that they're really editing to be, like, kind of, you know, as basic as looking text as possible so that it's not overwhelming. Because you see all these, like, templates and then stuff going on in there, and it becomes, you no longer understand what the page should be.
Well, you bring up a really interesting point. What if there was actually some use of this where we put comments in around the pieces so that they would know this is, if you had a rudimentary way of being able to show bold and italics and maybe a small table and show how that actually works and then a pointer back to a place to get more information. That seems to be one of the roadblocks is finding out how this formatting stuff works. It's not very well documented compared to HTML, and you want to actually get people used to thinking about the fact that they can change this. I think that's a really good point, Reginald.
I like that, too, and I'm trying to help somebody right now set up a page in a lab down the hall, and this is the major roadblock. And I think having it simplified and just the basic things that they need just to get started would really help people kind of get the activation energy they need to get over the hump and do it. Once they start, it should be easy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we could have a little thing there for their picture. All right. So I think that all sounds just right. I wonder, so is there anybody who's willing to kind of spearhead this in terms of seeing it along. I think people would be happy to kind of contribute to tuning up a page like that if someone's just willing to kind of get it off the ground.
Can we start with Julia's page?
Yeah, we can start with Julia's page.
A lot of that was good. I mean, it might have been a little too lengthy, so people can work on paring it down and putting the most important information.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay,
so we'll move over to Julia's page. Tune it up a little bit.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Is there a list of the variables that get transferred over
Yeah, it's actually on the description page. The email I sent out today has a link to it. You'll see it's in the top of the list. We can put that same list somewhere else, but right now I put it onto the software user management systems enhancement page. So there's a whole section that can be taken and put anywhere you need to just put it.
Okay.
Okay.
So another thing is the for the RSS feed for the wiki. I don't know if people have had a chance to look at them or just kind of got them set up, but if anybody has any comments now on them, we'd love to hear them. And if not, we can come back to them. We can try them out this month. So has anyone actually played around with them yet? Or?
But they look very similar. They are. There are three different extensions from different sources. And I'm just trying to find out which of the three of them, if there are any features, anything that stand out in any of them better than the other. We'd like to get to the point where there's only one, but they all work.
Do you have one that you recommend as a free though?
Is there one that's technically better, like the code looks nicer?
Well, there's one of the three that actually does not use the Magpie RSS library in DC. And I actually kind of think that the Magpie one is pretty useful, so that I'll put comments in about the three of them, reflecting what I think might be the better parts of it. And I'll go back to that original document that's in there and do that, because I can't, off the top of my head, give you any one of the three that I could say this is better than the other. That's what I was hoping to see what other people thought about. And,
So I put a couple comments on the wiki. One was that I think that one of them shows dates for the headline or item, but like the date field is empty for all the blog posts on our Ultimate Web blog. So it kind of looks like ugly in that way. So either we fix it so that we get dates from the blog page from the Ultimate Web blog, or I think we should not use that one.
I'll make sure I take a look at that one later on.
And then the other comment I had was that I kind of think it's nice when the RSS feed is maybe not only the title, but like a little snippet of the content of the blog post or whatever.
Right.
So I prefer those, but in some cases I can see how it might be want something shorter than that, so you'd want, you not want the summary, but I like the snippet.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I think that I found bugs in a couple of them I had to fix. They weren't major ones, they were more formatting ones. But I can't vouch for the quality of any of the three. I know that they don't break the wiki at this point. When it comes to something like the date one that you mentioned before, that's a real issue that I'll take a look at. And then as far as the snippets goes, one of the three actually has a template, a MediaWiki template that allows you to then format exactly what parts of the RSS feed get put onto the screen. I like that approach. I don't know whether or not that's one of the ones that you had an issue with, and I'll take a look at it. But it can be done with any of the three, actually. So the goal is in the not-too-distant future, like I'd say a month, to actually only have a single one, and then if anyone has used any of the other two, we'll deprecate them, but we'll continue to support those for a while so that people won't have any problems with content going away from their pages. So I'll take a look at that. I think another thing to consider with the RSS feeds is how it fits into something like a specific application, like the coordination of the blogs to the wiki, or even what we talked about before, how to keep dynamic content coming into a new person's page that they just created, a user page. I'm not suggesting that that's the optimal place to put it, but that's an example of we can engineer the sections or the parts of the system to use RSS quite well, but I don't really think standing on its own is going to be something that people are going to run all over and use. So, but I think it's somewhat there right now.
Yeah, and I think we can definitely get down. We ought to be able to get down to one, I think, at the end of the month. And I think that's still using the others. We ought to be able to manually move over and just kind of get rid of the other two. So
yeah.
I wouldn't worry about that too much.
I will make sure, by the way, that at least one of them supports pictures as well. I don't think any of them have that feature, but I am going to add it to one, so that you can put thumbnails and also links directly into them. So I'll make sure that we've got at least one so that
it comes up and shows pictures as well as showing the text. Okay.
It seems like a checklist depending on how well they're going to be supported in the future. Just from reading the descriptions, I had seen that Hazel was the first one. They said they had to just make it work with the latest version of Media Wiki, 1.11.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a good sign that they were updating it or a bad sign that they needed to update it. So I just, long-term usability should probably be one of the criteria for picking the fruit.
No, that's a good point. off-topic thought, so.
So my French is still underway, but we submitted a paper that has a number of links to wiki pages. And the editor sent me about it, but the reviewers actually complained that we were including links to web pages, which might change, even though we had links to a permanent version of the wiki page, you know, using the old ID system. So we haven't gone back around and re-spoken to the reviewers, so I'm not sure if they can be convinced otherwise. But it certainly seems like it'd be nice if we could cite wiki pages or reference wiki pages easily in publications.
And so I thought, I guess Ilya's not on the phone. So Ilya had said to me that he was gone and was. Oh, you are Ilya?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you have a chance to look into so we had a kind of a conversation around DOIs, but it didn't seem like people really had up the full scope of what was going on with that. Did you have a chance to look into it more deeply or no?
Well, yes, sort of. I got a comment from the virus thing. I mean, I understand the reviewers because really the URL of the page is not an identifier of the page. It's an address of the page which can change, and then DOIs, they are identified. They have a different role. They actually identify a digital object.
Right.
And so they can have, and then location can change, but the ID stays the same, no matter where this object is, whether it's a wiki page or whatever.
Right, so I guess I remember the practical problem was it's expensive to have the DOIs and that sort of thing, and did we figure out what the options would be there? If it, like, you know, is it possible to pay once at $5,000 or something and then get as many as we want, or did you have a chance to look at any of that stuff?
Right, so from what I've read, I understood that you need to have a DOI prefix to publish, to have your own DOI. And when you have, I mean, basically the DOI structure is as follows. Basically, it's part, and there is a prefix which identifies you as a publisher. And then there is a suffix part, which is arbitrary. It can be used with any, basically, naming scheme that you want to have. And thus, you can have basically a limited number of DOIs per prefix. So to get a prefix, it costs about $5,000. At least that's what the figure was on the DOI page.
Yes.
And that makes a change because that page is actually fairly old, it's a couple of years old or more. And then it looks like you have to register each DOI you create with the system, and that needs to do through a register or whatever it's called, the DOI. Yeah, it's like a register. It's a registration agency, such as a company.
Okay.
And so they charge quite a bit of money for that. For example, they have different schemes, but there was one registration agency called MEDRA, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. But so they have $400 annual fee, for example, for 100 DOIs, $600 fee for 200 DOIs, and so on.
Wow.
Another one, like crossref.org, they have annual fees of $250 and up, and then they charge $1 per DOI. So either way,
per year.
No, that's, in this case, it's a one-time fee, but then you have annual fees of $250.
Yeah.
Right. So basically, they it's just different charging fees.
Yeah.
So this is how it works. I mean, even if you have a prefix, it seems to me that you still have to pay for each DOI to have registered in the system. It's like each DOI, you can think of it as a domain name when you register.
Yeah, no, I see that, yeah. Wow, that's pretty crazy. Okay.
It's a flat namespace, right? So it's like a domain name
system.
But except that when you register your own domain, you can actually have infinite number of subdomains if you operate your own server. It doesn't seem to be the case here.
So then is it basically then that we couldn't have, it wouldn't be possible for us to cost effectively have like a DOI for every history page?
Or
and we couldn't be our own register. That doesn't work. We can't do that.
I don't think we can be our own register because the idea of a registration agency that is a very permanent organization, you know, that has lots of funding and that's actually, you know, in the foreseeable future, it will not go away. I mean, to be your own registration agency, that's just difficult, from what I understand. I mean, there are just a few of the future zones where it might be generated, maybe Africa.
So it still is a much more traditional publishing model where the end product, i.e. a document, is really something that presumably people willing to pay for it to have located within this document space. And revisions to it the way that we do it with the wiki are not something that it was originally intended for, it appears.
Right, so they don't support the revisions right now, but there was a talk about supporting revisions, and there was a talk about having GUI version 2, which would actually support revisions per GUI. So GUI would still reference one document, but then you'd have some kind of mechanism to reference the revision.
I mean, to be honest, I mean, there is this focus on GUI, but I honestly don't think, I mean, all we have to do to some extent is make sure publishers have a policy on citing wiki. Right? I mean, there are policies on citing theses, there are policies, they don't all have to have GUI.
Yeah.
And I don't see why that would be a problem. I mean, I feel like it feels like an obfuscation for, like, trying to pretend like it's a peer-reviewed document when it's not. You know, and that's not what we're trying to pretend to be. And so I think it should be fairly clear that it is a wiki, but it should also be clear that it's a permanent version of that article, right? And so there should just be policies. And we know enough journals that we could probably encourage them to make a policy to do that. I mean, I don't think we have to go through this whole rigmarole of, like, pretending like we're, you know, I feel like something we're not.
Well, but you see, URLs don't solve the problem with identification. They're just addresses you can change, right? And that's the biggest problem, and that's what UI is solving. So, you know,
But people cite URL. I mean, you can cite a URL in a paper, right? I mean, there are...
Well,
the standard way...
Well, these URLs are valid in about 6 months.
What?
How many of those URLs are still valid and accessible in about 6 months?
Yeah, but that's the same is true. I mean, if open webware goes down, there's no way that any of those pages are going to be available, right?
Well, unless it doesn't go down, but, you know, we change the name. Can we switch from Wiki to, you know, Wiki 2 or whatever, right? It's long ago, I don't know.
But I think that what we're pointing out is the fact that the Wiki is a special case where it's always the current version, you might say, but there's always a revision of that document that might be relevant to the publication of another document that's cited it. And there's always a way to get to that in our system, but there aren't in a lot of other systems. So the wiki is a special case that clearly was not something that the DOI system was designed for in any way, shape, or form.
So Ricardo just suggested major proceedings, which has... Ricardo, are you able to talk on the phone, or are you just on chat? On chat.
I'm here.
Do you want to mention major proceedings and how their stuff works with the revisions?
No, I just happened to notice the other day that I subscribed to one of their feeds, about technology feeds, and I was following one of the links, and they had a problem with their DOI. And eventually I noticed I was reading one of them, and came across a friend of mine called Pedro Dobson, and he told me that these papers and projects that they submit to major proceedings can be edited. So since they have a DOI, it doesn't seem like having revisions is any capital problem.
Hmm. Yeah, we can look into how they're doing it, presumably.
But let's just, one difference between the way that we work and the way they work, there's a finite small number of articles that come out on a monthly basis.
Well, no, so Major Proceedings is the thing where you can submit anything to them,
uh-huh.
And it's like a pre-publication service, like it's just a
PDF
file, you know, a PowerPoint, anything. Before it's a new kind of thing.
Got it.
But it's still review. I mean, it still makes sure that if there's content that's applicable and
whatnot. Right.
I mean, it's not like...
Yeah, it's not a free-for-all, but... It's closer to a free-for-all than Nature's Journal, that's for sure. So we're coming up on the end here. Did people have anything they wanted to just bring up in general? Stuff we didn't cover? Yeah. All right. So I think we have a whole bunch of stuff to do. I'll try and get some notes up on this. We have the meeting tomorrow on the lab notebook, which I think if you can attend it, and if you cannot attend it and you have some thoughts, please do email them out ahead of time, just because it would be great to get input from a lot of different people about, because I know lab notebooks tend to be sort of a personal thing that people do in a lot of different ways, so it would be interesting to get a number of opinions on it. So.
Steve just linked about shades on the
chat. Oh, perfect, yeah. So the link's right there in the chat if you want to switch to that. That'd be great. All right. That's it. Thanks a lot, everybody. This was a great meeting. Thanks for calling in.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Hi.
Yo, Jason, you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, I just got on the plane, and it's like so loud on the tarmac that I couldn't talk. Yeah.
But I wanted to say,
with the DOI stuff, it seems like what people might psychologically have a problem with is like a document that changes. And I couldn't hear, maybe this was said, but what we might want to try and pursue is some like collaboration with, not necessarily made for teams, which cost money, but a place to archive that work, or rolling our own sort of archive server where it's easy to provide a link to a page that absolutely won't change, like a snapshot of the protocol page or something.
Yeah, I mean, so the nature of proceedings is free at the moment, anyway. But we do have like a link to a page that fixed, right? I mean, a link to the history page. So it's not a question of the link itself, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's like still a question of perception.
Exactly. It's not a technical thing.
I mean, it is a technical thing in that one way to solve the perception problem is to use DOI, so that it has already cleared the hurdle of being perceived as an okay thing, you know?
Yeah.
So we could fight a battle with the publishers around,
yeah,
allowing, you know, certain types of topics.
That's probably the right way to go. We could just get Nature somebody to donate some to us, something.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that we could get, I mean, I'm certain that proceedings would love to have a situation where people could click to add something to the proceedings, you know?
Yeah.
And it would, like, just dump, you know, we'd auto-dump a wiki page and format it as a PDF and submit it to proceedings in the DOI, you know? That would be, like, something they'd be happy to do. So we could definitely take that road. I just don't know if that's the right thing to do or what, but I guess just in general, though, it's interesting because there's probably lots of other things like that where it's like, yeah, you know, we can do community building stuff to integrate better, but there's probably like some like simple technical things that would help the cause as well.
Yeah.
That are maybe easier to implement on a short term, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
So,
cool.
If you have
okay.
anything like that, let us know.
What time is the notebook thing tomorrow?
That is a great question. I don't actually know.
I kind of wrote it off because I didn't think I'd be able to go, but maybe I'm just trying to get an extra effort to. Okay?
So it's at noon, Ethan.
Okay. Cool.
Sounds great.
Are people going to be on the phone or is it a physical meeting?
Off phone.
Okay, good.
All right.
Maybe I'll be there. Anyway, great. Thanks for putting up with my noise.
No, that's fine. You were okay once. No problem.
All right, talk to you later.
Yeah, see you, man. Bye.